I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome to Inside the Comedian with me, David Reed.
Please take a seat.
Hello. Hi.
Pippa, thank you for finally coming on the programme.
No, that's fine. I know we've tried to organise it several times.
We have done. We have done. And this time it hasn't worked out and you're here. Now, if we could go back to the beginning of your life.
Just
talking about it. We don't have to actually go there.
Let's not go there. It was messy. Really? The beginning was messy. I came out in 60 seconds.
My word.
Yes, my mother said, I think I need to push. And then she did, and there I was.
Right. And how far out did you shoot in 60 seconds?
Let's just say I was born in both Ealing and Hanwell.
Wow. Wonderful. They really should keep that door closed.
It's a shame. But there's a problem with automatic doors, isn't it?
It really is.
In the old days, they would just keep shut, but now with those sensors, they just... Yes.
It's why they have the rubber buffer in the middle in case any babies come through.
That's right. That's right. You know, toilets, you have to have two doors.
I do know toilets. Well,
the two doors in toilets is for that reason.
Right, yes, in case any toilet births.
Yes. Classic toilet births. Yes.
Yeah. Yes. It's also a good album. Now... I read that you were raised in an old abandoned music hall, is that right?
That's right, I was. I was raised in Wilton's Music Hall in East London.
Right.
Where my mother, she sang old hits such as "My Under the Bed" and "Whoops, Is That My Vagina?" Because, of course, when they first started doing music hall, they had to be subtle, and then the Lord Chamberlain was...
Executed.
Thank you. And so they didn't have to be as subtle with the lyrics. So, whoops, is that my vagina?
Is that my vagina? Yes. Because there's ambiguity there.
Yes, that's right.
It might not be a vagina, so we're safe.
But my mother had two.
Right.
So,
oh, did she?
Yes. Yeah, she was born with two vaginas.
Which one were you born out of?
I was born out of the left one.
The left one. Right.
Yeah. No, not right, left.
Right. Left, but, sorry. Are you still left-leaning?
Yeah, yes, I am left-handed, yes.
Wonderful. And so what was that like growing up in a music hall? Did that atmosphere sort of intoxicate you in any way?
Oh, gosh, yes, I loved it. I loved it. I loved that people could just come and sing. So, you know, they just would be there and singing was just normal. So... I don't know if you've met people that think singing is weird, but I
have, yes.
Yes. Whereas I was brought up that singing is the way to express yourself. So should you go into a shop rather than saying good morning, you would say good morning, and you sing the whole of good morning. And then the newsagent says, please buy something.
There's nothing at the counter. It's all over there on the shelves.
Yes, it's true. So I was banned from several... of the newsagents of East London.
So was there a pressure to perform, growing up in such an environment?
No, my parents were very keen that I didn't perform.
Really? They wanted you to go into another profession?
Accountancy or IT. They really wanted me to learn computers.
Right. Were they missing an accountant or an IT professional in the music hall, or did they want you to just leave?
Well, it's quite cruel. They didn't have a thing about music hall. Is it, you know, who hands up anyone who's been on a music hall website?
No, that's very true.
Exactly.
That's,
no, yeah. just one. Oh, yes. Was that a joke? Oh, very funny. Yes, but no. So they thought, well, we need to get into the modern world. This is the main reason that music hall hasn't transferred into the modern world is because I refuse to do IT.
Right. And you're an only child.
And I'm an only child. So my parents, they introduced me to the Microsoft paperclip at a young age, hoping that I would make friends with Clippy.
You were home tutored?
I was home tutored mainly by Clippy.
By Clippy.
This was around 95, of course. Younger people won't understand what that means. So in the old days, your computer was about the same size as your father. And it
had a genuine AI on
it. Yes, it did. It really did. And you could put a thing called a CD in it, or a floppy disk, which now sounds kind of phallic.
It does, doesn't it?
A CD-ROM,
which sounds disgusting.
In many ways, the old home computer was more of a brothel than a computer.
It was in many ways.
It really was. Anyway, so Clippy and I would spend most of a sort of a Sunday afternoon together. He would ask me if I knew what I was doing with my documents, whether I knew where the margin was. And in many ways, I found him quite passive aggressive,
yes,
if I'm honest.
So the picture you're painting for us is that you were reticent to go into IT.
Well, I was angry about IT.
You wanted to be a performer.
I wanted to be a singer like my mother, but my mother, I mean, I think deep down was insecure about my abilities over her abilities.
You think at 8 years old you were better than her?
At 8 years old I was better than my mother.
Right, and how are you now?
And now I am, I mean, my mother is dead. So
how are you at singing compared to her?
Compared to my dead mother, I'm very good singer. She can't articulate her words. She doesn't enunciate. She can't remember the lyrics. So in many ways, I'm better.
Right, and that must be a great comfort. So was there a show at the music hall or elsewhere that you remember thinking this? This is what I want to spend my life doing.
Yes, I was at the church doing a pantomime called...
A church pantomime?
Yes, yes. So my parents were into the music hall, and they also were very heavily involved with the local church, C of E, but quite serious C of E.
What sort is of place a where... C of E pantomime? Like?
A C of E pantomime.
What are the traditions in a C of E pantomime?
Well, so like Buttons, he does communion, but he doesn't really believe in it.
I mean, that's standard for a pantomime.
Yeah, absolutely.
Or the communion scene.
They do the ghost, you know, the ghost... Oh, is it behind you? Well, is it the Holy Ghost? But we're not sure. Right. You know,
He's behind you and everywhere else.
Exactly, exactly. Ruins the game.
It does.
But at least we all learn something. So I believe it was that pantomime in which I played the Lord Chamberlain, actually.
Right.
Interestingly, because the Lord
Were
Chamberlain...
Were you executed?
I was not executed, funny. No, but I wore a wig that was like a judge. And it was then I realised...
The wig was like a judge, or it was like a judge's wig?
Well picked up on. It was like a judge's wig.
Right, okay.
And so that was when I realised that I wanted to be in a position... to be in a sort of 80s tribute band.
Right.
So that's where my singing career began, really.
In an 80s tribute band?
Yes.
A tribute to a decade of music?
Yes, yes. Because the 80s was the music decade.
And how old were you at this time?
I was 15.
15. So it was, the 90s?
It was the 90s when I realised I wanted to be in the 80s.
Right. And so you pursued that, did you?
Yes. So I worked in Butlins and Pontins, you know, in an 80s cover band. We'd sing all the big songs. Karma Chameleon.
Yes.
What's the Flashdance?
Yes.
Oh My God, I Think I Love You. Wait, I Don't Love You. Wait, I Do Love You. That one.
Incredible song. Incredible
She's
song.
Like the Wind, my favourite song.
She's Like the Wind.
She's Like the Wind. She's not the
she's
wind.
Not the wind.
She's not the wind, but she's like the wind.
She's like the wind.
She's often there and slightly annoying.
Gusty lady. And after that, I believe I read that after the tribute band, you packed your bags and set off for the bright lights of Birmingham.
Yes.
To study your craft, didn't
yes.
you? You were hooked.
I was hooked, and so I went to Birmingham New Street on the 10:09 from Euston, and those days it wasn't a Virgin train. I hadn't been a virgin for a time then. but it was whoever ran the trains at that time. And I arrived at New
Street. It's the detail I love in it. That's what I can really picture it.
And I got to New Street. New Street wasn't like it is now. So I don't know if you've been to New Street recently. There's a John Lewis, there's a Foe, there's a Five Guys, you know, all the bollocks.
Yeah.
But in that time, it was just a sort of a tin can that had been hollowed out. And someone had said, let's get rid of the beans. I got there and I thought, this is where I belong.
In a hollowed out tin can with no beans.
Yes, because it was a beginning.
It was a beginning. You felt the vibe of Birmingham.
Yes, because if you go to New Street now, you think, what have I got to offer? Right. There's a John Lewis, there's a Five Guys, there's a Foe. I've got nothing to add.
Oh, a Foe. I thought you said a phone. And I don't know Birmingham very well. But I thought they had phones before.
No, no, they didn't.
They didn't.
No, no, no. When I arrived, they didn't. They had, well, I had one phone.
One
and everyone
phone.
Had to share it.
The Birmingham phone.
That's right. It was in the town hall. You had to queue up.
Right.
It was awkward because during the Christmas market, obviously, it was very popular. And it was
very
hard
popular.
To get to it. If you've been to Birmingham's Christmas market, it's one of the biggest in Europe.
Really?
It's true, yes.
Are they German markets?
Well, they're German markets except run by Brummies. So all of the German is spoken in a Brummie accent.
Wonderful. Can you give us a blast?
Let's try. Let's see if we can. Guten Tag. Wie geht es dir? Ich würde lieber eine Glühwein. Dankeschön. I love this day.
So you were learning your craft in Birmingham, but how did you find it finally meeting like-minded people your own age?
I didn't like it.
No.
I didn't believe they were like-minded. They just seemed to like the same things as I did. So I felt that they were actually inferior because I could only sort of see myself reflected. It was only after a lot of therapy that I realised that we were exactly the same.
Right.
But at the time,
but
I thought...
that ship had already sailed.
Yeah, yeah. The ship had sailed and unfortunately I was part of the crew. So I was there with these people thinking, who are you? Why are we here together? And then I realised it was disturbing. For me to be with people who
also shared a talent for performance.
Yes, yeah.
You wanted
yes.
to be the only one.
I wanted to be the only one, which is why I moved into mechanical engineering.
Right.
Yes.
You could. Those were the two.
Yes. Originally, I was doing drama, but then I thought, well, this isn't working out, so I became a mechanical engineer, where I was terrible at engineering, but goodness, couldn't I sing?
That's nice.
In the mechanical engineering bar.
Yes.
At Birmingham University, you know,
and
everyone would say, God, don't let her design a bridge, but do let her sing Bridge Over Troubled Water.
And finally you stood out again.
Finally! So I would stand there on the bar, see Bridge Over Troubled Water, and I'd sing...
All the other mechanical
bridge.
Engineering songs.
All the other mechanical...
Under the Bridge.
Wichita to Lineman.
Yes.
All the songs that referred in some way to some kind of construction. Winchester Cathedral, obviously.
Yes. Everything by MC Hammer.
Everything by MC Hammer. And I was a firm favourite.
Yes.
And so finally I was popular again.
Oh, wonderful. Did you discover any strengths or weaknesses you had in the performing arts?
Oh, yes. Well, my strength was that I could connect with absolutely anybody in the audience.
When you say connect?
I mean literally reach out and touch.
Right.
The thing about working with engineers is they're actually terrified of physical contact.
They are.
So from the beginning, if I would just reach out my hand, someone would touch it, as we'll demonstrate now. There you go. See, it's happening now. Slightly held on too long. But that's exactly what would happen. Thank you, sir, for demonstrating that.
You are healed.
People would touch me. Yes. And that is when I realised that I should go into the church.
The church?
Yes.
It's a circuitous route to comedy we're going around here. This is wonderful. So...
Well, because, of course, there was a lot of parallels between the preacher and the comedian.
Elaborate.
Well, so for... So I was an engineer.
You were,
and then I realised I could touch... people.
Yes.
And I realized, well, maybe I should touch them in a sort of in their souls. And so I became a preacher.
You became a preacher.
Well, I joined the Christian Union, is what I
Right, the Christian Union.
Yes.
Of the
Birmingham
University.
Yeah.
Right, okay.
So I joined the Christian Union and I said, look, chaps, there's only seven of you here and
right.
you don't look happy.
Right.
I'm not sure how much joy the Lord is bringing you. I'd like to touch your souls. Well, because
and they said, our souls are not for touching.
David.
I'm sorry, I just thought of an actual proper joke. I thought I'd share it with you.
It's very good.
If you'd like to see the next series of Inside the Comedian recorded live, then we have a monthly residency at King's Place Theatre in London. For full details, go to mrdavidreed.com.
Hi,
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
When did you deviate from mechanical engineering to become a comedian?
Well, so after
my... You are a comedian, aren't you? I mean, I've not made a terrible error.
No, no, you haven't at all. Comedians have to have things to talk about. So the best comedian...
Not my experience. I just book a show and get someone else to talk.
Well, exactly. So are you a comedian? I mean, let's not get into that.
It's not.
Could be painful. So I finished my mechanical engineering degree and I moved to London because I wanted to work on the Tower Bridge. Because I feel like it goes up and down too many times.
Right.
So I wanted to work on that.
Right. to reduce the number of times it goes up and down.
Yes, I think it's excessive. So I was sort of hanging around London Bridge and Tower Bridge, obviously.
I've heard that about you.
Yeah. stop it. I'm not a Nancy to your Pygmalion. No, that's not right.
That's what they say. Nancy to your Pygmalion. That's exactly what they say.
And I was hanging around there, and someone said, "You clearly are, you know, making." I was sort of shouting outside the Tower Bridge.
Yes.
You know, oh, it's going up and down too much. Filth again. My music hall roots coming back, and obviously Tower Bridge is around the corner from Wilton's Music Hall, where I grew up.
This was your manor.
My local, yeah, exactly. That's why I ended up back there. Yes. Anyway, so I was on Tower Bridge, and I was sort of shouting abuse at the chaps who press the buttons to make it go up and down. And someone said, "You're quite funny." And I said, "Am I?" And they said, and I said, "Yes, you are." And so I went and did 5 minutes at the Gong Show at the Comedy Store.
Right. Wow, you did 5 minutes without being gonged off.
I went to do 5 minutes. So I was gonged off after 10 seconds.
Right, I see.
Because I started speaking. And
I see. But
posh twat! Off I went.
Yes. They shout that a lot, don't they?
They do. They're very against the posh. And I'm not even that posh. It's just that I have a posh voice. So.
Right. It's a genetic condition.
It's a genetic... Yeah, I grew up in an old-time music hall. And I was hanging around Tower Bridge. So I don't think that's really posh, is it?
No, it's not that posh.
It's not that posh.
No, as schools go, being homeschooled by a paperclip in an old music hall isn't particularly
exactly.
privileged. We've finally got to your comedy career.
Yes.
So your instincts then, because I saw a lot of your shows in the early days, Pippa, and your instincts were to do big, grotesque characters that would in no way translate to television.
That's right.
So was that the right decision, do you think?
Well, I mean, it depends. The difficulty is that people see television as success. So you have to be okay with not being successful in that way.
But you have to have your own version of success. Is that what you're saying?
Well, yeah. Well, so my first character, Harry the Fishmonger.
Yes.
We all
remember Harry.
It was such a great character.
Can we have a blast of Harry just to remind people?
Want yourself a haddock, do you? You'll have to fish for it yourself. Into me pants.
It was absolutely disgusting.
It was amazing. I used to come on stage in a pair of trousers, really huge, and I would go to the local fishmonger at the end of the day and get any haddock that hadn't been sold. And to be honest, if I'm honest, I would take whatever hadn't been sold, so it wasn't actually had it, which I did lose a star on Chortle for. So I have filled my trousers with haddock slash other fish, and the audience would have to put their hands in my trousers and pull out a fish. And then on the fish would be sellotaped a line, and so the audience member would say the line. And so it was really like an interactive clown show. But it was before clown was cool in Edinburgh, so it was when it was just audience harassment.
Yes. Often with a sexual bent.
Yes, exactly. And I was so I was closed after 9 days, my first Fringe 2005. It was quite sad because also all that fish was wasted.
Every day.
Every day. And the venue really did start to smell more than your average Fringe venue.
Yeah.
So
which isn't so much a fishy smell as the smell of sweat and despair.
Yeah, exactly. And in many ways, the fish disguised the smell of despair. But I thought Harry had legs.
He didn't have legs. He had trousers, for God's sake.
He had trousers, and you can't wear trousers if you don't have legs. I don't think.
Is that a thing?
I don't know. Has anyone here not got legs?
Anyone know the rules of trousers? Can you wear them if you don't have legs? Are you technically wearing them? God, it's a minefield.
Isn't it? These days, you can't say anything without offending someone with no legs. Anyway, so I thought Harry was a good character, but, you know, Chortle disagreed. So then
you moved on. You tried something else.
So then I had Susan the Lion.
Susan the Lion.
And Susan. So I would.
Can we have a blast of Susan? Can we?
Susan. Oh, you think that I'm scary, but I'm not. I'm just a furry friend.
The singing came back. That's basically what it was.
And she was a lion. So I had a big lion's head. That was taxidermy. I'd borrowed from the Horniman Museum.
You had an actual...
You had a taxidermied
lion's head on your head.
Yes.
So your head was inside a lion's skull.
Yes. So anyway...
Was the skull in there?
Yes.
It's skulls. Yeah,
so because lion skulls are bigger than human skulls, too. It just fits. It's a bit like a crash helmet. So I had that on, and it was a bit like now it would be called performance art, but then it was just called crisis.
Right.
And so I had this lion's head on, and I would creep through the audience. It was just this head and then a swimsuit. And I put on a lot of weight after university, so it was I was quite her suit at the time.
Quite a convincing lion.
Yes, and I was going through a not shaving my legs phase, which is fine, but again, at the time, wasn't cool. Now I'm very hairy, and I'll show you if you want.
I think we're all fine. I don't like to speak for the group, but I think we're fine.
So a sort of golden swimsuit, and then these big thighs, these big undulating thighs, all covered in beautiful golden hair.
Right.
And Susan the Lion would just prowl around the audience for around 25 minutes.
25 minutes?
Yeah.
I mean, a show is supposed to be 50 minutes to an hour. What was in the rest of the show?
Well, Harry was the first 15.
Harry was the first 15.
Then there was Susan.
Susan, and who was the finale?
And the finale was Kafka.
Kafka. Did you play Kafka?
Yes, as a fly.
Right.
So I was a fly, but my wings were made out of mirrors.
Wow.
Right. So when I went through the audience, people would see their own faces. And we have to be faced by themselves, you know.
Wow.
And so it was very much.
Can we
like,
get a blast of Kafka?
So Kafka was like, "Oh, here I am, and you see me in my own wings, which are your wings and are your own faces. Fly, my pretties, fly."
And did you see this more as a ITV project or BBC Two?
So this was BBC, definitely BBC Two.
BBC Two.
When Channel 4 was sort of still trying to do different, you know, different but edgy rather than, you know, just different.
And you took that to mean Kafka as a fly with mirrored wings rather than just doing stuff.
Well, no, David,
wanking.
No, David, what you've done there is you've decided that I was doing things to get on television.
Well, no, I was trying to ascertain whether that's true.
No, I...
You weren't. Where were you trying to get?
I was trying to get anywhere, an art centre in Chiswick, I don't know. You know, anywhere that would take the show. My dream is live performance, not recorded, because I'm really interested in the reaction of the audience, the relationship with the people who are there, whose eyes are met with mine, and whose truth I can see.
You can see their truth.
Yes.
And they can see you're dressed as a lion or fly.
Yes.
Yeah.
And how they react to me being dressed as a lion. So in that moment, I'm looking at someone dressed as a lion, and they're looking at me as if, wow, you're dressed as a lion. Will I choose to believe you're a lion? And I'm saying, please believe I'm a lion. And then their eyes either say, yes, I believe you're a lion, or, what have I paid to see?
Right. Fascinating. fascinating process. Did anyone laugh during these shows?
Well, the thing is, David, that you create a show to do one thing and it might do another.
Right.
So I created it for laughter, but it seemed to create tears or astounded silence.
So in many ways, that's better art.
Well, in a way, because what is art but something to create a reaction?
Yes, that's right, and preferably tears, but a laugh will do.
No, David.
Is that not right?
No, I disagree.
I'm sure I read that somewhere.
No, I think it's that art is to reflect the world back.
Now, that's a mirror. You're thinking of a mirror.
Which is why I put a mirror in
it.
So that I would be art.
Right.
Art is but a mirror, and if you're not quite sure what you're doing, just use a mirror.
Yeah. And it probably means something.
Probably means something. I think it did mean something.
Yes.
Which is why I got a fringe first for that
show. You did get a fringe first. Reverence, it's been absolutely wonderful. Can I just quickly ask you some questions from our fans on Twitter?
Is that all right?
I've put the feelers out for people to ask their questions in a sort of Q&A format that ignores all of you. And I really enjoy that. But just quickly, at Clunky Premise writes, what's your biggest fear in terms of square footage? What's your biggest fear?
I'm not great with measurements, and if I do measure, I have to go sort of by a swimming pool because that's sort of my visualization. So probably 25 meters by four lengths.
Right, that's your biggest fear.
Yeah, that's my biggest fear.
Okay, does it manifest as anything? But just anything that's that size will terrify you.
Well, no. So 25. So that's the sort of space that it has to inhold. But it depends whether you're talking about a imagined fear like loneliness.
Sure.
That can take up any amount of space, obviously.
Correct.
Over fried chips, you know, when they're very brown, that you can't, they don't taste like chips anymore, but you can't really say they're burnt.
That's a fear, is it?
Yeah, because you've paid. It's a middle class fear, isn't it? You go, oh, it's kind of.
You don't wake up in a cold sweat at night thinking there might be overcooked chips outside your window.
No, but I'm
clawing at the glass.
But I might worry that I've bought them and paid for them and I haven't stood up for myself.
Right.
That's the sort of fear that
manifests. That sort of fear that would fill a swimming pool. Yes. No, I understand. At Nancy So Fancy asks, what are you wearing? No, that's not. No. Sorry about that. I should vet them.
I don't mind.
All right, what are you wearing?
Well, I'm wearing a T-shirt I bought from Norway.
Right.
And
online, or did you go there to buy it?
I went to Norway, and it's from a shop called Weekday, and they said, this is where we buy all our clothes. So I went. And most of the clothes were really for sort of 19-year-olds, so the only thing I could really buy was this T-shirt, so that I didn't feel too old.
Right.
But I still feel kind of young and cool and trendy in it. So
for a Norwegian.
For a Norwegian.
Yes.
I could be Norwegian.
Home of the fleece.
When I got on a plane to Norway, everyone was blonde, and I thought, I understand this. It's terrifying, isn't it?
You're blonde too.
That's what I mean, is I got on a plane and everyone was blonde. It's my own experience.
You felt like you'd gone home.
I felt like I'd gone home.
Are you a great believer in racial purity?
That's what I mean. I was terrified at that moment, David. I felt like I was in that moment.
Right, yes.
I was scared.
Yes, no, it's odd, isn't it?
It is odd.
Odd sensation.
Yes.
Odd sensation.
But then they started talking and I thought, no, we're not
the
same.
No, not the same, not the same. Ron51151Ron says, which Beatle should be the next to die?
Ringo.
Ringo, great. At Hatbox on Fire says, do you have any recurring nightmares? For instance, I do not. Do you have any recurring nightmares?
A recurring nightmare that Ringo comes to me in my dreams and says...
And punishes you for saying he should die.
No, he says, right. I'm going to kill Paul. And then I have to put a pillow over his head.
And you kill
and
the
I
penultimate
kill.
Beetle.
Yes.
Wow.
And then I have to go to all those Comic-Con events and sit. Well, people have their picture taken with me as the person who killed Ringo.
Would Comic-Con invite you?
They're going to get desperate soon because all the people from Back to the Future will be dead soon.
That's very true.
So they'll be like, we'll get the lady that killed Ringo.
Yeah.
Especially because she owns all of his solo albums. True fact.
Wow. Mm. Any of them any good?
One of them is quite good.
Okay. At Clearly Not Well says, if you had to, could you kill a squirrel?
Oh, yes.
If you had to.
Oh, I mean, anyone could.
Really?
Well, they're quite quick, I suppose. Actually, my husband fights with squirrels quite regularly.
He
does in our window box.
Is your husband an Alsatian?
He's not an Alsatian, but if he wanted to be one, he could be.
Right,
because he's changed career so many times. But they are stupid.
Right.
Squirrels. So all you would need to do is put some kind of chicken nugget or a burger from the Hamburglar into the window box. They would come along and you just hit them with a shoe or a nutcracker.
Well, on that note, Pippa Evans, thank you for letting us inside you.
Thank you, David, for being inside me.
Pippa Evans.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Inside the Comedian with me, your host, David Reed. If you've enjoyed the show, then please help us spread the word by liking Inside the Comedian on Facebook.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.